Acts 4:31 we have used for several weeks now, and I want us to go back and look at it again. After they prayed, everybody say, after they prayed. Why is it that while we pray, we expect God to do it while we pray, but after we pray, we wonder why he hasn't done it? After they prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled and spoke boldly. Proper prayer produces boldness in us. There is a passage of scripture I want you to go to in James chapter 5. I quoted it this morning. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. The Message version, if you have an electronic device, pull it up and watch it as the late Eugene Peterson translated this. He said it like this, verse 13, are you hurting? The NIV says, are you in trouble? The King James says, is any of you afflicted? Are you going through tough times? Are you hurting? What do? I wish somebody would come and just say the right thing to me. Isn't that our response in the church most of the time? I just need somebody to encourage me. I want to go to church today and somebody just say something that'll encourage me. That's not what he said do. He said, if you're hurting, don't go to church for an encouraging word. Don't call somebody to see if they'll encourage you. If you are hurting, say it out loud. Pray. Pray. Remember, we quoted also 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. When you're hurting, when there's anxiety, go to him in prayer. Well, I just don't want to go when I'm in hurt. A person of prayer doesn't do that. A person of prayer has a prayer life, a praise life, a worship life. Yes, Lord, I'll say that. Even as a young person. Yeah, but I'm not old enough to get real serious about him. Would you like for me to go into the statistics of the young people that died this past weekend in car accidents? In freak accidents that had nothing to do with anybody else? We all need to be ready for meeting him. Prayer is not for older folks only. Prayer is a daily thing everyone of every age should do every day. If I'm hurting, I'm going to pray. Everybody say, I'm going to pray. Remember, we've said prayer is not just a monologue with God, it's a dialogue, but it is also praising. It is worshiping. It is spending time. But you don't understand. I'm just not at that age yet. I know kids that have spent hours in prayer. Kids, literally kids, elementary school kids, I know them, middle school kids that spend time in prayer. When they go to church, the first place they go to is a room for prayer, and that's what they do before service. Nothing is going to come to us without prayer. So if you're needing help with hurting, pray. Secondly, do you feel great? Sing. Let me say it like this. Do you feel great? Pray. Because that's what prayer is, singing. Prayer is worshiping. Prayer is praising. Do you feel great? Sing. Well, everything's going great. I don't have anything to pray about. It's about him, ladies and gentlemen. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Pray. But do it with singing, giving thanks. Thank you, Father, I'm victorious. Then he says, are you sick? Pray. Call the church leaders or mature believers, one translation says. Call mature believers. If you're too sick to pray yourself and you need somebody to agree with you, don't get somebody that's going to get with you and say, well, we're going to find out what God's will is for this. His will is for you to be well. Now, if you want to go to heaven, I can help you pray that too. But what do I do if somebody dies? Do I try to convince them it wasn't God's will? This boy's not going to. Why? They're in the best place anybody could be. Is there any sick? Call the mature believers together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer, everybody say believing prayer, will heal you. And Jesus will do what? Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. When he says, are you sick? He's not just talking about your body. He's talking about, have you just missed it? I don't know if you've ever had to do this, but I have literally had to stop and say out loud, Lord, forgive me. I just sinned with my mouth and I shouldn't have done that. And I repent of what I just said. Maybe you don't have to do that, but I have. Really? Yeah. But didn't you have to fast and pray? No, I have a relationship with Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all missing the mark. So, I'm going to pray when I'm hurting. I'm going to pray when I feel great. I'm going to pray if I'm sick. So, he says in verse number 16b, the prayer of a righteous person. Everybody say a righteous person. Want you to answer this just as honestly, not that you would lie in church. Answer it honestly. Do you feel righteous today? Anybody? Nobody feels righteous? Awesome. We're going to have a great soul-winning service today. We have a house full of sinners. Well, I am a sinner saved by grace. If you've been saved, you're not a sinner. Stop that. That's like saying I'm single and married at the same time. The prayer of a person who is in what? Right standing. I know in whom I have believed. It's not based on me feeling righteous. It is based on me knowing I know Jesus and he knows me. The prayer of a righteous person is what? Say it with me. Powerful and effective. That has nothing to do with praise God, hallelujah. That's not powerful, that's loud. What makes prayer powerful? What makes praise powerful? When I believe what I'm saying, when I believe what I'm singing, when I believe he hears me. That's what makes it powerful. And it's effective. Well, when they pray, I didn't see anything right then. Oh yeah, but just wait. It said after they prayed. Cast it on him and go about your business. Hello? Go about your business. Watch. The scripture says, Elijah. He's talking about prayer, and all of a sudden he comes up with this guy, Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. Is this boring you yet? Probably. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Look at this. Read it loud. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Can you believe someone would go to God and say, Father, don't let it rain for several years? He had family that lived in that. Father, don't let it rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. What if you knew you were the reason the crops were dying? What if you knew you were the reason the animals weren't getting water? And there were no irrigation systems. Verse 18. Again, everybody say again. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Whoa. He's teaching us about prayer as a young person, as a young adult, as a middle-aged adult, as a mature adult. He's teaching us the power of prayer, praise, honoring God, spending time before God, so that when we pray, things happen, because the person who is in right standing with God is powerful and effective. Wow. And he says, James doesn't use Jesus, and Jesus was James' brother, but he doesn't use Jesus as an example. He uses Elijah. The Jews called Elijah Elias. And they really put a lot of stock in him. Elijah and Moses were here together with the Jews. It's like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with Christians. The Jews, Moses, and Elias. They're up there. Okay? So he says, Elijah prayed. And he was a human just like you. Some of us think it has to be because God has just given us this special gift to pray. Have you ever heard so-and-so pray? Boy, they just, they have this special gift. They know how to pray. You have it. Well, I can't pray. If you want to flip somebody out at a family gathering, ask the least likely person in the family to pray and watch him go, I don't want to pray. Not me. I don't want to. Elijah is an example of the prayer life of a believer. First, we got to answer, who in the world is Elijah? Who is this guy? I just heard stories about him, but who is this guy? Let's find out who he is. 1 Kings chapter 17, chapters 15 and 16 tell us about the condition of Israel at this time. Have you ever heard of a place called Samaria? Anybody heard that if you've been around church? You ever heard of Samaria? Jesus went to the woman at the well in Samaria. Remember that? And Jesus says to the woman in John chapter 4, you Samaritans don't know who you worship. Do you know why he said that? Because in 1 Kings 15 and 16, the Samaritans just took to themselves the idea that they could create worship like they wanted to, just like we're doing in the United States. They just went into a place and they said, now look, we don't have to do it like the Jews do it. We can do it like we want to. We'll set up an altar this way. We'll have our priests do this. Well, I don't like that. I like to worship like this a little better. Well, we'll create one for you. And then somebody says, but I don't like to worship it like that. Well, we'll create one for you. And finally, they got to where they were worshiping the devil. And that's why Jesus said to the woman at the well, you guys have no idea who you worship. The Jews, we know who we worship because we worship exactly like God tells us to. And because Israel had splintered up like this, terrible things were happening to them. And this guy becomes king by the name of Ahab. Everybody say Ahab. And you think you have a bad name. I wish my mama named me something else. I hate for everybody. Logan. God, I wish my name was something else. What if your name was Ahab? Worse than that, what if your name was Jehoshaphat? Come here, fatty. That'd be terrible. Ahab is king, and Israel is going to hell in a handbasket. And all of a sudden, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, there's this strange guy comes out by the name of Elisha, the Tishbite. He's from Tishbe in Gilead, which means they're just settlers. They move from place to place. And he goes up to the king, this unknown guy. Nobody knew him. Everybody say nobody knew him. But God did. Do you know why? Elijah prayed. Before he shows up in 1 Kings 17, please get this, Elijah prayed before anybody ever heard of him. He didn't have a radio program. He wasn't on TV. He didn't have a church. He was just a guy that prayed. And all of a sudden, Elijah shows up and he says to the king, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve." King James says, "Before whom I stand." The prayer of a person in right standing. Say that. The prayer of a person in right standing. Elijah said, "The God of Israel, before whom I stand." In other words, I get before him every day. He knows who I am. I'm telling you, there will need be neither dew nor rain in the next few years. Watch this. Except if I say so. Everyone look at me. When we develop a prayer life, nothing will happen without us saying so. No, I don't believe that. Can I tell you a personal testimony? When I was going to high school, there was a particular plan I had for fasting and prayer, and I still use some of that now. And I was praying one day, this particular day was my prayer and fasting day, and I was at school, and I had walked into the lunchroom, because you had to go into the lunchroom whether you were eating or not. And I walked in, and as I'm walking in down the hall, I hear this loud voice, "I am the God of hellfire, and I bring you fire." It was a new rock and roll song back then. Harry Nilsson. I stopped in my tracks. See, that's how a lot of the stuff got into the schools that we're experiencing now, because they let stuff like that in back then. I walked in and that song was blaring. And I just walked over to the jukebox and just leaned up against it like I was looking at it. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, stop." Like that, the song stopped and they couldn't get the thing working again. Pastor, you're bragging. No more than Elijah. Elijah says, "Bubba, it's not raining for the next few years till I say so." Do you understand? A person of prayer can say to the enemy that's working in their life, "You're not bugging me until I tell you. You just stay right there. Don't you? You can't do that." Yes, you can. Well, I didn't know that. Remember that the devils that were in the madmen of Gadara that said he had a legion of demons, remember that? What did Jesus say to the demons? You go to the pigs. You can tell the devil where to go. Do you really mean that? I've done it. And he'll leave you alone. Well, Pastor, I'm not as perfect as Elijah. Did you know Elijah ran from a woman because he was scared of her, but God still used him? Did you know Elijah dealt with depression, but God still used him? He said there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 41 of 1 Kings 18, read it with me. And Elijah said to Abraham, after he had killed, watch this now, from verse 1 of chapter 17 to verse 41 of chapter 18, he's introduced himself to the king and he's killed 850 false prophets. Well, that wasn't nice. He should have tried to win them to Jesus. There's some devils you can't fool with. You have to tell them to shut up and move on. See, the reason some of you are dealing with the mess you're dealing with in your house is because you've not taken authority over it. You're not bringing that spirit in my house. You're not bringing that in my house. You're not going to bring that here and practice that. You're not going to do that in my house. One of the reasons we don't do that is because we're not people of prayer, and it's never dawned on us we have the authority based on God's word to say, it's not happening until I say it can. Wow. Well, now those are Bible stories. No, this is an example, 1 Corinthians 10, that tells me I can live like this. Is anybody with me? Ahab, married to Jezebel, sees Elijah call fire down from heaven, and he doesn't have any way to text Jezebel and go, Jez, baby, you've had it, because your church just got dumped. As soon as all of that was finished, Elijah decides that it's time to get rain. Elijah says to Ahab, he says, Ahab, go home, get yourself something to eat. He's telling the king what to do. Go home, get yourself something to eat, because, and I can see him as he's walking along, because I hear rain coming. You know what he was saying? I've decided it's time for us to get some rain. Whoa. Did you know if believers bound together, we could control this economy through prayer? I've heard folks go, oh, you know, current administration, this. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the potatoes in the hills. Verse 42, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Watch this. And he says to his servant, go and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked. And he's standing there and he's going, there's nothing there. Seven times Elijah said, go back. Well, was Elijah doubting? No. Elijah was praying. He was just getting his servant to tell him when the cloud came up. Seven times he said, it's not there, it's not there. Elijah just kept praying, didn't pay any attention to the it's not there. Stop paying attention to the it's not there. Say that with me. Stop paying attention to the it's not there. Keep praying. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud, it's about the size of a man's hand. It's rising from the sea. What he didn't realize is God had reached down and took a handful of water and brought it up into the atmosphere and was multiplying it like Jesus was going to multiply the fish. So Elijah said, you go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you because a big one's coming. Why did it rain? Was it God's will? No. It was because Elijah prayed. He prayed. Now, I don't know if you have to grow a beard like that to be like him, but he prayed. Hitch up, get ready. Why is it going to happen? Because the man of God said it's going to happen. Because the woman of God said it was going to happen. There was a friend of mine years ago. His name was C.V. Gillum. He's gone to be with the Lord. A lady called him and said, Brother Gillum, I need you to help me pray. They're building a booze joint across the street from my house, and I don't want that thing there. He said, well, let's pray. So he prayed. About 10 minutes later, she called him back. She said, Brother Gillum, I just got word that the whole crew's left the job. They're not going to build that. He said, don't shout yet. He said, shout when the thing falls in. 24 hours later, everything that had been built collapsed. You and I, when we pray, expect it to happen. The reason we don't is because we think prayer is the emergency switch on the wall, like they have in some building, pull this in case of fire. No, prayer is relationship. Is this helping anybody? Meanwhile, verse 45, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah. Watch this. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. He outran the horse and chariot. Are you feeling worn out from all you've been going through? Prayer will cause you to outrun everybody else. Is this helping anybody? Watch this. How does this apply to me now? Are you ready? Number one. Always remember, no one knew Elijah, and they don't need to know me for me to speak God's word or God's will. Why, they don't know who you are. You're Angie Smith. They don't know who you are. And besides that, you're a woman. The Bible says you ought to be quiet in church. You shouldn't speak. You shouldn't baptize anybody. You shouldn't serve communion. You sit over there and hush. He says different. Are you hearing me? In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and daughters. Nobody knows me. I just remember me telling you the other Sunday about the young 20-something that came up to us. And after I had asked the Lord Friday, I need to hear from you. I said, Lord, I need to know what to do. And I forgot to tell you one of the words, and my wife reminded me, one of the words that came out of this young lady's mouth. She said, the Lord said, persevere, don't stop. You keep praying. You keep your relationship with the Lord. Nobody knew Elijah. Elijah is out here in whatever world, but he is a praying man. And when he shows up, he says, oh, by the way, Because I said so, it's not going to rain until I say so. Stop thinking God won't use you because nobody knows you. Secondly, I am in right standing because I spend time in His Word and with Him. I apply this to my life because the devil tries to tell me, God's not going to hear you. He's not. You're getting ready to go to college. God's not going to do stuff like that with you. If God will help you in your races, He will help you in your life. He will help you with your occupation. He will help you with anything you let Him help you with. The only thing that will hold Him back is whatever parameter you set on Him. Whatever you set for God, God, don't cross this. I want to do this myself. He will be sure to let you do it. But if I know you, you don't have any parameters with Him. Whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Do you hear me? Whatever you let Him do, He will do. Whoa. Well, don't call for the rain to stop, because if you do, that's going to hurt everybody. It changed the nation. How does this apply to me? No one has to know me for me to speak God's word. Secondly, I can speak God's word because I'm in right standing with Him. And what did He say? My sheep know my voice. And if I know His voice, I know when to speak and when not to speak. I've had the Lord speak things to me about individuals, and I thought, oh man, I need to tell them. And the Lord said, no, that's for you. Don't tell them. I'm just letting you know. Thirdly, I know the way to cure man's ills is to be in right standing with God and men because of Jesus. Everybody look this way. The Jews believed, concerning 1 Kings, that if you're going to meet man's needs, you need to be in right standing with God and right standing with men. And in a few weeks, I'm going to talk about this. One of the things that robs us of our right standing with God and with men is that we constantly are in strife with people. Everybody say strife. We are competing with them. We are trying to outdo them. We envy them. Those things, and strife can get into your home. I can't tell you how important it is to keep strife out of your home. I've heard folks brag about getting home from work and creating havoc when they get home. I like to go home and just say something really stupid and get everybody in an uproar. You not only need psychiatric help, you need the Frankenstein laboratory. You need a brain change. I've heard men and women say, I love to go to church and create chaos. I like to get things stirred up. Do you know how you stop that kind of spirit? You just look them in the eye and tell them, you're not doing that here. Yeah, but you know, Jesus did that. Jesus, you're not creating chaos here. That's not happening. You're not going to do that in my house. Wow. It's quiet in this Pentecostal church. Don't let strife get in your house. Don't let it get into your heart at work. Don't you be a part of strife. If there's stuff going on at work, you separate yourself. Because you want to be that person that speaks God's word and it happens. Father, I know the company that I work with, My children used to always call and say, things are just not going well at work. I'm telling you, they're doing stupid stuff, blah, 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 and this is happening. You hush and just do your job. You're not there to correct things. You just pray for God to bless the business so you can be blessed and they give you raises. And do you know what? All these years later, it's working. No one knew Elijah, so they don't need to know me to speak God's word. Who is he? He's a man or woman that knows God. I'm in right standing with God because I spend time with him in his word. I know how to cure man's ills by being in right standing with God and not being in strife with people. Nobody's going to ask you to pray if you're the one that creates chaos all the time. Lastly, how do I apply this? My purpose is always his purpose. Change people's hearts and turn them back to God. My purpose is not to build something for me or for me to be in the front. My purpose is to change people. That's what Elijah told Ahab. You have caused Israel to sin. You have brought evil to Samaria, and I'm here to change that. Do you want to change your house? Get rid of envy and strife. Because James said, and we'll learn it more in a few weeks, where envy and strife is in a home, watch this, there is every evil work. Say that. Every evil work. If you let that in your house, there'll be no blessing there. After they prayed, everybody say, after they prayed. Nobody has to know you. You just need to know who lives inside you. He loves you more than you can imagine. But he doesn't love Elijah. He didn't love Elijah more than he loves you. Did you know he loves you? Father, help me say this right. I've been thinking about this all night. While he has come to meet our needs and undergird us, the Lord has not come to pamper. He did not save us to pamper us and to fan us and to pat us on the cheek. He has come to make us bold warriors. Somewhere, somehow, we have seen Jesus as somebody who's just standing over on the sidelines of our life going, oh, if they just let me help them, oh, bless their heart. No, he's saying to you, take charge of this. I've died on the cross for you. I've provided the power of the Holy Spirit for you, and I've provided my word for you. Now you get with it. You take charge of it. Remember Simon Peter? Peter, do you love me? Yes, sir. Then feed my sheep. What? Don't I need counseling? Don't I need therapy? Don't I need something to help me through this time? No, you need to cast all your care, live carefree. It's over. Now move on and let's get this thing done.
Thank you for joining our service today. If you'd like to donate, we have many ways for you to give. You can text Zion and the amount to 73256, visit us online at zionca.org, or send by mail to Zion Christian Assembly, 258 Beartooth Parkway, Suite 130, Dawsonville, Georgia, 30534. For more resources and information on our church, visit zionca.org.